Today is the Sabbath day, September 2nd, 2023. And if you have your Bibles handy, we are in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 5. Okay, we're going to be starting at verse 5. Let me get the text chat where it needs to be, where it won't, so it'll scroll. Wait, I'm going to get this stuff off screen here. So it doesn't draw my attention, because that server is down, so I don't need that up. Okay. All right, so we're on Acts chapter 8, verse 5. It says, then Philip, and this is, by the way, after the persecution starts, Christians are being scattered. I mean, the previous verse actually says in verse 4, therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. And so verse 5 says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord, well, verse 6 then says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You know, I can't wait till that day comes, because that day's coming for us. You know, like when the loud cry goes forth and we got the latter rain upon us, which is 10 times the amount of the Holy Spirit that the apostles got on the early rain. But the Lord's just not going to be giving it to just anybody willy-nilly. You have to be, you know, wanting to be, you know, wanting to overcome and actually overcoming. You can't just say you're trying your best to quit sinning. No, you got to quit, period. Just quit and ask Jesus to help you not do it when the temptation comes. That's what you got to do. It'll be rough, maybe for a couple days, but you'll see how he'll help you. Because if you don't do that, we're so close now. If you don't do that, he's just going to pass you by and someone else is going to be called to do the work. So verse 7, it says, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in the city, verse 8 said. Now, this reminds me of what happened. Well, here I got the date. Wow, praise God. It happened on Sabbath Eve. It was a Friday night. It was August 27th, 2010. And we've seen this happen before, and it's an amazing thing to witness, although we didn't actually see it with our eyes. We only heard this because it was happening during a church service, and I think this is back in the XP days, and we were using this, I can't remember, I don't think it was Flash. It was the original server software that was donated to us when this man came along and asked us what was laid upon my heart. And I says, well, we keep getting banned and persecuted and shoved around in all these online chat rooms because we started doing church and chat rooms before anybody else. And so it started angering Satan. So he got the owners of these chat rooms to attack us. And I says, we need our own chat room and we need our own server. I already know where the chat room is, because the software, it was about $3,000 back then. And the server, I could build one for like $1,500. So he handed me a check for $4,500. And so that was the original chat room we were using. And on, like I said, Friday night, we all witnessed as a church family. I don't know how many families were in there. There was quite a few. It wasn't as many as we have now because we were just starting out. A lot of people didn't get word that we left places like Fire Talk or Pal Talk or Yahoo Messenger. Pal Talk is extremely dangerous now. When it first came out, it's the one that caused Fire Talk to go belly up. They stole all their customers and stuff. And so we had no choice but to go to Pal Talk. But then all of a sudden, it was owned by Catholics. And so you know what was going to happen to us? And so then we went to Yahoo Messenger, which was another audio chat. But it was based on gamers who liked to hack. And so, yeah, we get attacked left and right because there's these little codes and stuff that you could use to knock people out of a room. The gamers knew them. And so we did that for 18 months, and then the Lord blessed us with our own chat server, and everything was good. And then the only kind of attacks we got then were trolls, you know, people coming in and just using four-letter words and saying very vulgar things during a church service. But a woman named Candace, I'm not going to say her last name, she was visiting this other family that was on the East Coast. This was one of the families that had a really big house this one was still kind of big. It had 11 families, I said, or it was 11 people. It could have been 11 people, but there was like one in Texas that had 16. I don't know if it was families or people that would come into the chat room. You just see one name, but there's, you know, could be anywhere from 11 or 20 people listening, right? And they were all at the Harrington. I'm not going to say the whole last name, I started preaching, right? And I don't like watching text chats when I'm preaching because it's very distracting. And so I don't. It took the church family a while to get my attention. The only time I look over is when there's some kind of the room is flying. I mean, it's just going up where everybody's trying to get my attention, or I'll get a PM because the PM will gray out the screen and then you got no choice but to look over because it flashes. And that's what happened. I look over and, I was told, stop, you know, and I go, why? And then what happened was, in front of all these people in that home, and I think this was the East Coast, so there were 11 families or people, I don't know, but I just remember the number 11. This woman went into convulsions right when I started preaching. They thought this was, you know, she was having a problem. We were going to have to lay hands on her, right? And it turned out that she was speaking in cavernous voices, and she was demon-possessed. And so when the church service started, it angered a demon, or demons, you know, I don't know. And so we stopped the service. Everybody in the church family got on their knees, and even at that home, and at the home, I says, get some oil, lay hands on her, and then we'll pray. And but before they could do that, she ran out of the house. That's another thing, yeah. She ran out of the house. They grabbed her and brought her back in. And so we prayed for her, and we asked those present to anoint her. And within moments, she drifted off to sleep. Now, we've seen this happen many times, too. And so we're going to see this during the loud cry even more so. But she drifted off to sleep. And whenever I see that happen, I go, oh, praise God, the healing's done. Or the healing's happening or whatever. You know, we've seen that. And she drifted off to sleep. In other words, she stopped thrashing around like a fish out of water, and she just drifted off to sleep. You know, stopped yelling and screaming and all these weird voices or languages or whatever. And when she woke up, she was totally different. And she literally said, when she awoke in a few moments, she was freed of the demons. And even this is what they texted me or PM'd me. When she awoke in a few moments, she was freed of the demons and even declared a great weight was lifted off of her. And now she speaks of Christ to all she meets and carries a Bible everywhere she goes. No sound? How come there's no sound? Turbo's working, yeah. Mindy said she can hear me. It could be, Dwayne fell out. Yeah, I see. Yeah, Dwayne's not in Turbo. So, can you hear me? It's back, all right. All right. So, but yeah, praise the Lord. And so the Lord's already started to let us see these kind of things. But when that ladder ring falls, it's going to go off the chart, brothers and sisters. Okay. Verse 9. Let's go there. Oh, and I got to show you this picture here. Let me put this in the room. Oh, I can't. I'll put the link. I'll put the link in the text chat, and if you guys want to take a look at it, you can go ahead and take a look at it, but I got to hit the... That's assuming the link comes up on my end. Okay, it does. It's a Bing link, so it's kind of, you know, annoying looking. And so I'll put it in the room here. as I read verse 9. Okay, if you want to click it, you can click it. And verse 9 says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. And I'm going to read down to verse 12. And it says, sorry about that, Sean. So it says, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Okay? And then it's going to go into a little bit of detail in regards to how Philip handles, you know, or the apostles handle Simon, because of what he says next. But take a look at that link if you want, because your internet's probably good. That's an actual carving, and I'm not going to mention what kind of mitre he's wearing, because it's vulgar, it's satanic, it's paganistic, and it's phallic. Let's just put it that way, okay? Just that. And you adults know what I mean when I say phallic. I don't want the kids even knowing what that is. But look at behind that head, that weird-shaped hat he's wearing. It says Magus. That is Simon Magus, carved on the Vatican walls. He's actually the first pope. Yes, from what I think I have that on my first pope page. Let me go to it real quick. Could have been somebody else. But it'll take me a minute to get there. Because I got to... It's not even trying to go. So let me try a different browser. Maybe the cache is too clogged up or something. Because I had stuff running in the back like an idiot. Well, Breitbart comes in. Okay, good. The site comes in. RCC exposed. Popes of Rome, the Black Pope, actual first pope. Okay, it's coming. Okay, so the site's pretty snappy right now. I'm not going to say the upload is. I'm not even going to test it because it might knock some of y'all out. Until, let's see, let me go with Magus. Simon Magus. He comes up first in the menu. Okay, so he is the first pope. Okay, so... And this is why he used the title, they gave him the title Simon Peter, to claim that he was the, you know, when that went, like in modern times, right? Peter the Apostle was given the name Simon Peter. As we know, that's what Christ called him. That's no problem there. But Satan knew of the method and the names and stuff like that. And so in the pagan church, a leader, a high priest in the church is called a pator or a petor. And so Simon was called just Simon, Simon Magus. And he was a magician, or, you know, he was a sorcerer, actually. Demonic. It was far beyond regular magic. It's demonic magic. And there's guys out there right now today doing demonic magic. And it's very, very scary looking. I mean, well, it looks like they're actually doing magic, and they are. It's demonic. It's not the sleight of hand stuff. So, but prophecy spoke of Simon Magus. Let me click this link here. And I don't know who I'm quoting here. I think it's probably Sister White. What were the counterfeits of... Okay, it's just too much detail, so I'm not going to try to go over my notes on that. Well, those aren't my notes. I actually spell it all out there. Amen, all magic is demonic, but this stuff here, you can tell it's not sleight of hand, you know, the way they do it. But this is more or less the first pope, and they got this carving of him with that vulgar hat on, or mitre, or whatever they want to call it, on the Vatican walls. And it's just, you know, in today's world, and that's why they call, they do the twist on the scripture with the Simon Peter, because of Jesus' name towards Peter, who will also be called Simon, and Simon, who will also be called Peter. I can't remember the back and forth on that. Because I got so much, I'm a little bit flustered in my brain right now because of what just happened with the internet. Because I kind of like buzz around like a bee trying to figure out a way around it or fix it or do whatever. So I kind of get flabbergasted. And so, but anyway, let's go to verse 13. It says, then Simon himself believed also, because he saw all the baptisms and, you know, what they were doing. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracle signs which were done. And I'm going to read all the way down to verse 17 here. And it says, now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And this is where it goes bad for Simon. Well, Magus. And so then it says in verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, even though, Simon Magus, even though he claimed Christ Lord and was baptized, Simon's weakness was his demonic sorceries and how it cultivated the praises of men when he, you know, ployed his art. Here he is being tempted, as we see in a moment. And, to look on the miracles of God in the same way he used to do his own magic. Later in verse 18, we'll get into that. Well, actually, we'll do that next. But we see the demon that used to control him once again gets the best of him. He's tempted to believe he can claim Christ Lord while at the same time be glorified in the flesh. And there's a lot of people out there that do that. They'll declare themselves Christians, but yet go about doing everything they can to puff themselves up. They build on their pride. They try to make themselves look like somebody they're not. In other words, they're found wanting. Even in the church, this stuff happens where people will want positions. Because I know some guys out there that were that claimed to be pastors that never were. They were never ordained. And one of them I tried to help. The other one, I didn't know about it until many years after I had already left his church, that he was never really ordained. It was Pastor Russ. But Pastor Russ had a gift, and it was mostly on the street. I can see where his calling was. It wasn't to pastor, even though he did his best to do so. His calling was to share Christ in a bold manner in the scary areas of the Chicago area. And because him and I used to hit those streets, even at night. And it was, and I learned a lot from him in regards to that, because it was obvious the Lord was protecting him and I. Even when we got arrested and thrown up against the wall and everything, I looked back and I thought, wow, this is amazing. Cops are going through my van and I don't have anything in there. No contraband, nothing. I'm a Christian now, right? A sunny keeper, but, I gave up all of it. So I'm thinking, he ain't going to find anything. And but him, me and Pastor Russ are assuming the position on the back of a, that's what they call it, assume the position. You lean forward, put both hands on the trunk, and then let them frisk you and slap you around a little bit. Because that Chicago cops, they're, one of my brother-in-laws is a Chicago cop, or was, and, but the, he still is, but he's no longer married to my one sister. But it was just an amazing thing to see how in these very, very bad areas that the Lord is there for us. And I knew that that was his calling. His calling was to go out where most preachers wouldn't go, kind of like a Nineveh kind of area. And then, but the other guy, his calling was radio. I think his calling was radio, and I still do. He has that gift to be able to explain things, and but he has to read off a page kind of a thing. But that's fine. I do that sometimes too, but not all of it, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you don't sound like you're reading, because it can get annoying. But let me put something in here from Christ Object Lessons that I ran across. And actually, we did, I think, the entire Christ Object Lessons, the entire book. It's on the old sermons page on the website. Oh, it's all audios. It's on the old one. It's just, we did like a couple of years worth of these. And this book was written in 1900, so it's like 15 years before she was called to take a nap. And so it says this, the world has no right to doubt the truth of Christianity because they are unworthy members in the church, or there are unworthy members in the church. Nor should Christians become disheartened because of these false brethren. And again, the context of this is in regards to Simon Magus, right? She goes on to say, because of the false brethren, she goes, how was it with the early church? Well, Ananias and Sapphira joined themselves to the disciples, and you all know what happened there, right? And this is one of the things that people still don't realize today. I know, and my wife know, and the Lord taught us or revealed how to do this with our own children. The kids always says, how does mom and dad know we're lying? Okay. So our kids never really were able to do that, the lying thing. And so they would always boldly tell us the truth, even if it meant they were going to get in trouble. And I really liked that about the kids. You know, they were good about that, and I liked that. But a lot of the, like, especially the Christians that come into our movement, let's say, and they assume that I don't know they're lying. You know, sometimes I'll let them lie because, you know, I'm not going to call them on it until it's going to cause a problem for the church family or even for themselves or whatever. But still, and I want to be 100% anyway with a lie. I have to get the confirmation as well. I'm not just going to all of a sudden know right. Well, sometimes, yeah. Right away, you could tell when somebody's lying. But then it was kind of scary when you think about what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. And Sapphira was given the chance. You know, she was in cahoots with her husband. We all know they kept back a portion of the money that they put at the apostles' feet, claiming they're giving all to the Lord, but they silently made a little pact between them to stash some of the money in case this quote-unquote Christianity wasn't going to work out, right? At least that's no doubt their mindset. And so when Ananias came in, yeah, he dropped dead in the doorway because he lied boldly. And who was it? Peter, I believe, is the one that says, how could you actually assume that you could lie to the Holy Ghost? And because the early rain was on him. And these guys were obedient and they were walking as they should. So they had that which we will have in the loud cry only 10 times more. But he gave Sapphira the opportunity to not go there, if you will. And she, of course, didn't know where her husband was, and she didn't know he was already buried. And she agreed with him to, you know, keep the story straight, you know, keep our story straight together. And she died. And then she goes on to say here that Simon Magus was baptized. Demas, who forsook Paul, had been counted a believer. Judas Iscariot was numbered with the apostles. The Redeemer does not want to lose one soul. His experience with Judas is recorded to show his long patience with perverse human nature, and he bids us bear with it as he has borne. He has said that false brethren will be found in the church till the close of time. And so don't let it bother you. Like if someone, you know, but if there's, like with leadership positions, that has to be done, and we made errors in there because we're a young church and we're learning as we go along, just like parents make errors when they're raising their kids. And that's, praise God, why kids are young when you get them first. You know, they're not born adults. And so you grow together. And so by the time the kids are old enough, you kind of know how to raise them at this point, right? Well, same thing with the church. And so, but if someone is ordained to be a pastor, let's say, or even an elder, well, I don't think you need to be ordained to be an elder. You're just there, I think. I can look into that. But then the deacons, of course, and missionaries that go forth, or even anybody that's declared, you know, that wonders that the Lord is calling them to go full-time. I remember doing a sermon about that a month or two ago. It has to be presented to the leaders, and then, yeah, they're put forth and that kind of a thing. But even there, if there's an issue there, it has to be addressed. But still, you don't kick them out of the church unless, of course, they do a real bad sin, and they, well, all sin is bad, but they refuse to repent of the sin or even acknowledge the sin. Well, then, yeah. You know, you do the Matthew 18 thing if it's a person in the pew, or you do the 1 Timothy 5 thing if it's a leader, a pastor. And so, anyway, as we go on here, reading, where do we leave off here? We left off at verse 70. So let me read you verse 18, and then I got something from the Spirit of Prophecy, and then we're probably going to cut it here, even though we started a little late because of the internet. issues. Let me go to verse 18 here. And it says, "And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands of the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying," so I'm going to read verse 19 as well, "saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Not good. I'm going to read something from Spirit of Prophecy. I wonder if I should read verse 20, all the way to 23. No, I'll read 20 next week, I guess. And then the 20, yeah, we'll start next week there. But I'm going to read, I already read 18, so I'm going to give you something from Spirit of Prophecy here. And, I mean, because it's obvious, Simon's wicked ways eventually caused Paul and Peter to be martyred, if you remember, due to Nero's love of magic. And I didn't know that until I think I found that in Sotoia's writings. I mean, the evidence, this is evidence that Simon was not truly converted at baptism, because there's a lot of people that will go to baptism and they'll act like they're converted, and, you know, some will even weep and, you know, and act like it's the greatest thing that ever happened to them, which it is. But the Lord knows. The Lord reads the hearts. Okay, good. It all fit. All right, so I'm going to read this, and we'll end with that, and then we're going to jump right into that testimony service. Wow. I just saw the, you know, I have a bar chart that kind of watches the internet on one screen over here, and it, boy, did it dip. So, praise God, we're still online, though. All right. Okay, so it says this, "About the time of Paul's second arrest, Peter also was apprehended and thrust into prison. He had made himself especially obnoxious to the authorities by his zeal and success in exposing the deceptions and defeating the plots of Simon Magus, the sorcerer, who had followed him to Rome to oppose and hinder the work of the gospel. Nero was a believer in magic and had patronized Simon," you know, Simon Magus. "He was therefore greatly incensed against the apostle and was thus prompted to order his arrest. The emperor's malice against Paul was heightened by the fact that members of the imperial household and also other persons of distinction had been converted to Christianity during his first imprisonment." You know, it's just going to happen. You know, you got a Christian in there. It's just like when they sent, like some of us may end up in jail. Some people are going to become Christians. That's the only way they're going to find out about Christ. They, like the thief on the cross. The only way he was going to find Christ was to have a sinful lifestyle, because the Lord knew his heart, and he also knew how his flesh wanted to do the criminal acts, right? But he found he loves him too, so he's going to make sure that he'll end up in jail and then, of course, be crucified next to Christ. And that's the only way he found salvation, by hanging next to Christ. Well, a lot of people, and some people call it prison conversions, and when they come out, some people, when they come out, they stay Christian. Not all of them. The recidivism rate is pretty high in the United States. I mean, you know, it's upwards of like 80% of the people that get out of jail. I don't think it's 80 anymore, but it was really bad in the 60s and 70s, that the majority that came out of jail went right back in, not long, especially long-termers. If you're in there for 20, 30 years, you come out, you don't know what to do. You go and commit a criminal act because you got to get back to your comfort zone of being behind bars. You were just used to it. And so, anyway, she says that he had been, the people that were in Nero's cabinet, if you will, or near him, when Paul was there, yeah, he was going to talk to them. And so when we end up in jail, we're going to talk. And even if we end up in a courtroom, some of the people in the courtroom, it could be the clerk, it could be the judge himself, the jury. Well, odds are they're not even going to give you a jury when it comes to us. It'll just be a bench trial. No jurors, because they would really want to keep, and maybe in the beginning they would do juries to try to puff up the idea to hate the Christians. But later, as we saw with Rome going into dungeons, they'll eventually, you know, just do bench trials and jail people or kill them, whatever. So anyway, she goes on to say that for this reason, you know, the people that got converted by Paul in Nero's cabinet, for this reason he made the second imprisonment much more severe than the first, granting him little opportunity to preach the gospel. And he determined to cut short his life as soon as a plausible pretext could be found for so doing. Nero's mind was so impressed with the force of the apostles' words at his trial, at his last trial, that he deferred the decision of the case, neither acquitting nor condemning him. But the sentence was only deferred. It was not long before the decision was pronounced, which consigned Paul to a martyr's grave. Being a Roman citizen, he could not be subjected to torture and was therefore sentenced to be beheaded. Peter, as a Jew and a foreigner, was condemned to be scourged and crucified, as we know. So anyway, hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared. I'm going to drop the mic if Brother Dwayne can. I don't know how much internet bandwidth he's got on his end to be able to throw us some music here, but maybe he can get a song out, and then we'll be back for testimony service. And I hope and pray that everybody's got something. Well, I know everybody's got something to share, but don't be shy. And if you don't have a mic or don't like getting on a mic, Sister Mindy's sitting there just waiting on you. Just put your praise in the text chat and she'll read it for you. So, okay, I'm dropping the mic.